Aloha and good afternoon. My name is Jürgen Steinmetz, joining you from livestream.travel and eTurbo News, Honolulu, Hawaii. With me, as always, is Dr. Peter Tarlo, joining us from College Station. Peter looks healthy. He got his COVID shot yesterday. We broadcast it. How do you feel, Peter?
I'm still feeling okay. My arm hurts, but that's not much. So I'm hoping that it's now over 24 hours and I'm past the worst of it. And to add, it was a really beautiful, warm day today in Texas, almost 80 degrees. So I think having the sunshine and blue skies and 80 degrees kind of makes you feel better. On the other hand, there are many people who, when they do get the second shot, have a little bit of a rough experience. No matter what, I encourage people, better to have two miserable days than to be dead. And every single day, I'm getting reports of people that I know or friends of mine whose friends have died. Today, I got two reports coming in from people in Latin America about close friends who had died. So again, the vaccine, it might be uncomfortable for a day or two. It doesn't matter. Be uncomfortable, but be alive.
No, I couldn't agree more. And in this session, we'll be talking about mask wearing a little bit. Before we get to this, maybe we summarize some of the news headlines we reported at eTurbo News. American Airlines, after furloughing, I think 13,000 people, is concerned about losing these 13,000 people completely. We're still going through some extremely rough times in the travel and tourism industry. There are some desperate attempts to keep destinations open. Today, the Bahamas came out with news about news in the island and reports about what hotels are opening and operating. And there are little glimpses, I think, sometimes that pop up of destinations that are doing something to reopen, but the world really isn't there yet. Or how do you see this, Peter?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. Some places are doing a little bit better, but other places are having a lot of trouble. The airlines are going to continue to have problems until people feel comfortable in three areas. One, they have had vaccinations. Two, they go to a place where there's herd immunity. And three, that the airports and the airlines, both, that's really essential, that both components have gone the extra mile so that people don't feel that they're in a tube, which is basically a petri dish. I think you're going to see incredibly low numbers. And we're seeing that more and more. Major airports, such as the airport in Atlanta, the one in London, Heathrow in London, are all with incredibly low numbers of people coming through. And the airlines can't survive if they don't fly with people in them. It's just impossible. So I would be not at all surprised if American Airlines does furlough another 13,000. And you can imagine what the esprit de corps is for the staff, knowing that your job can end tomorrow. So this is a phenomenon taking place around the world. There are some good spots, such as we saw the Bahamas are trying to come through and improve a little bit, and be ready to be open. My friends in Curacao tell me the same thing. They're getting ready for a reopening. We know that Sandals is working at possibly a major new hotel in Curacao. So those are all good, signs of that the whole body of tourism is not dead, but it's in bed and it's sick in bed. So we have to really work hard and hope that all the governments around the world will be successful in putting an end to this virus, because it's killing us not only from a perspective of tourism, but economically, psychologically, physiologically, medically, in every aspect.
And that's why it's so important people get vaccinated, like yourself. And this must be a relief. We talked about it yesterday, but it must be a relief for you to know that you're now protected against this virus.
Well, I will be in 3 weeks. It takes about 3 weeks for the antibodies to totally get going, gear up. But the important thing is you don't get to that end of the 3 weeks if you don't start. So the sooner you start, but you have to really think the whole process is about 6 or 7 weeks, and you have to be really careful during those 6 or 7 weeks. Use a mask, social distance, wash your hands, all those basic concepts. Should don't just get a vaccination and then go out and make believe the world doesn't exist, because it's not going to work that way.
Yeah, and now today, Johnson & Johnson applied for emergency authorization to be able to distribute their one-shot dose, what doesn't have to be kept freezing cold like the one you received. Yes. But it's not as effective, and they even admit it's not that effective, but it would prevent people of getting the severe version of COVID, the ones that can kill you, and the ones where you really have to suffer. So, I mean, the mild version is nothing but a common cold for most people, what is, I think, acceptable for many. And Johnson & Johnson, with this new vaccine, this may be a way out to speed up the process of getting people immune against this virus. And what's also a process, what could help the travel and tourism industry, many of us are working to move forward. Yeah. In the meantime, airlines are looking, and large companies like Lufthansa, for instance, are refinancing their liability on long-term basis to get buy more time to get out of the situation. The cruise business is promoting cruises, and I understand bookings are strong already for the last part of this year. So there is some hopeful development. So we have to see where it goes. And in the meantime, there is still a lot of confusion when it comes to this virus. And one of the confusion we're reporting now today is a story what happened to one of our associates. She told me not to give her name. She's embarrassed, or she doesn't want to go out, but that is fine. So we won't tell you her name, but she is one of our associates here at the Etobo News family, lives here in Hawaii, and went to get, I think it was blood work, don't quote me on this, done today in one of our major laboratories here in the state. And after we did this article, some of you may remember, about what masks are the most effective here on Etobo News, and we determined that the guidelines Germany put in place to make it actually now illegal to have cloth masks, and very soon also surgical masks when they go to public buildings or to department stores, and should wear, I think they called it the F2, I'm not 100% sure, F2 or F4, but we call it
the same as the N95 here.
Yeah, same as the KN95 and the N95. So the person who worked for us, when she went to the doctor this morning to, I think, get her blood work done, she was pushed out of the office, the doctor's office, and was told she couldn't come in with a KN95 mask she was wearing. And this is the safest one out there. And so she asked why, and apparently they were quoting that there are little holes in there where you breathe out. And this would, of course, be a danger to everyone around. And it did make sense. So she was given the surgical mask, what is supposed to be quite a bit less effective than the KN95 mask, what is protecting you 93-94% compared to 70% of the surgical mask. And the surgical mask is mostly protecting people around you and not yourself. So when looking at the result, and we made some phone calls and also talked to Gunther, who was on this network.
Tell us.
And apparently the KN95 mask looks actually that there are breathing holes in it, but there aren't. These are all, they're very small and fine layers of fiber covering these holes up, but you cannot see it. So it looks like it's open. So I'm explaining all of this because there seems to be a lot of confusion, not only for people who don't really know about the health industry, but also professionals that work in the health industry and make decisions. And really the true story isn't out there. So when you go to the CDC guidelines, they're still saying cloth masks are absolutely okay. And it is just simply wrong. And And I think we really need to push for some changes. How do you see this, Peter, being vaccinated now?
Well, I'm still using my mask. Now in Texas, they're a little bit, we might say more liberal than in Germany when it comes to masks. So to be quite honest, if everyone used a cloth mask, I would be very happy, because so many people don't use masks at all that you know, any mask is better than no mask. But we, you know, it does appear that the N95 is the best. They're expensive, and that's one of the problems. Now, my wife was telling me that when she went to her doctor, the doctor gave everyone in the office an N95 mask.
Wow.
In other words, told her to take her surgical mask off and gave her an N95. And those were provided by the government of the state of Texas. So I assume this is now going to all the doctors across the state of Texas. And that's a really positive thing that the doctors are being given. One of the big problems with the N95 is it's expensive. And people may not be willing to put the cost in because to deal with a virus they can't see. And so it's certain populations won't have a problem with that, but other populations may not be able to afford or may not be willing to afford that type of situation. So I think one of the things, if we want people to use a particular mask, we really need to have money put aside so that everyone can get a supply of them, and that the price is either government subsidized or given for free, so that people will use it and they won't be afraid, they won't take a risk.
But Peter, exactly what you're saying, expensive, they're really hardly more expensive. And let me explain you why. Surgical masks, and I'm just looking at Amazon, because Amazon, you can buy anything. A good price, average price for 50 surgical masks, good surgical masks, run you about $15. Now, when you compare this with a pack of 40 KN95 masks, they'll run you $59, what is, of course, a little bit more than three times as high. Now, there's a little bit piece of information what we disclosed also in our last broadcast, and people should know about. The surgical mask you have to throw away after a few hours. You cannot reuse it.
Right.
The KN95, there's a way to reuse it. Don't put it in the oven like it was in the old days. That's dangerous. But what you do, you dry it for 1 week. After 1 week, when the mask is dried, you can use it another day. You can repeat this like 3 or 4 times. So if you do the mask, they're actually cheaper. Yes, you just have to have the patience to dry it.
It's going to be really hard to teach people to do that, especially when so many people don't want to use a mask at all. So one of the things we're going to have to do is figure out some way to lower the cost radically. Because if not, people are just going to say, I won't spend $60. And you're right, if you want to amortize it over the cost of, you know, use it 4 times or 5 times over the cost of a month. But it's just not going to happen. And that, especially in poor neighborhoods, in inner urban cities, this is not going to happen. And unless we're able to get people masked also in the urban environments and with people who maybe are less willing to follow medical guidelines, we are never going to get to herd immunity. So we really need to figure out some way to get these distributed at no cost at all, and figure out some way to really encourage people to use them on a regular basis. And that means major advertising. This program right now is that form of issue, but advertising, really starting a campaign for people to understand why they're important and how they can get them at little cost. Because a family of four, $60 is now, you know, $240 a month. That's a lot of money for a family, especially if you're unemployed and you have to put food on the table for your kids.
Peter, I couldn't agree more with you. Let's learn again from Europe. This example we had in Germany, everyone gets 6 masks for free. You can pick it up in your pharmacy. It's yours to keep. The government pays for it.
Yes, I think that's right.
And 6 masks, if you reuse it and get taught how to do it, it's going to last you a month till you get another 6 free. And I agree with you. In neighborhoods where every dime counts, yes, there should be support. But if you look at most people like you and me, many of the medium class, medium income people, it is not a big expense. I mean, every morning I spend, I shouldn't say this, but I spend more than $3 for a cup of coffee.
Right.
Okay, that would buy me three meals.
Yes. But of course, people will turn and accuse you of being a latte liberal, which is not a compliment because you can afford to spend $3 in coffee. I just think it's really going to be a problem for families. If you have five or six children, a lot of people are afraid of losing their job. A lot of people are wondering where they're going to pay the mortgage. And unfortunately, we never quite got through to this last package in the United States of providing people with at least $2,000 a month who desperately need it. And so there's a lot of economic fear. And I think one of the ways to get around this is, I like what they're doing in Germany. We could say in any government center, you can pick up X number of masks for each person in your family, and but you will be expected to use it. And that would be very helpful. That would cut down on the virus radically.
Yeah, and look, Peter, what is maybe overlooked by the public sector, how much money it would actually save the healthcare system and the public sector. Because if you, the people that are getting, that would be getting sick in areas where people cannot really afford this mask, if they get this mask, you know how many lives it would save? How many people it would save to thousands and ten thousands and hundred thousands of dollars and millions of dollars in hospital costs, people who stay healthy because they're wearing this mask. It's really cheap to buy the KN95. It's just a question who should pay for it.
Yes, and I think, you know, what you're really bringing up is a major issue throughout all of healthcare, which is in the United States, we have basically reactive healthcare. In other words, you see the doctor when you're sick. In other parts of the world, you have proactive healthcare. I remember when I lived in Chile, everyone was required to go to the doctor twice a year for a full examination. So that if you wanted to keep your national health insurance, so that the government could, the doctor could pick up if there were a problem, they could catch it early. And we don't do that in the United States. We're not doing a good job of encouraging people to eat more fruits and vegetables. We are too dependent. We're not having people drink enough water. We're not having, so all of these things, you know, are part of that package. And the masks are really important. But along with the masks, we have to encourage people to have 8 glasses of water a day, to have vitamin C every day, to have vitamin D every day, to have some zinc every day, to have their B vitamin complex every day. And if we could encourage people to half the fast food stuff that we all eat, unfortunately, and double the amounts of fruits and vegetables, that would also help us build up our resistance. So if we had that plus good masking, that would be, and we kept social distance, those would be really good ways to lower the cost of COVID.
Yeah, and as we all know, we are all in this together, no matter what country you live in, no matter what state you live in, and we all have to learn. And I hope today's message, and you will hear a lot more from some of these people who are representing some of the major healthcare companies now, and you get some insight what people know and how they think. And I think if we all stick together and find a way and common grounds, we can make this a lot easier on everyone. And
that means we also have to work to help people who can't afford it, to have the economic means to be able to afford those, such as masks, better nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. If we got everyone, maybe in the United States, just to take a multiple vitamin, that might go a long way to helping things. And that's not very expensive at all, but people don't know to do it.
Yeah, and one of the part we'll be hearing on this show here is the ignorance, what is still, or the information still out there, outdated, not updated, because people, even in the healthcare system, are so busy in helping people that they may not really have the time to invest how they really should protect themselves. And that's as important as anything else. So I was really appalled, and you will hear this in the upcoming phone call, with the health provider here in Hawaii that they don't require their own nurses and their own staff to wear a KN95 mask. Matter of fact, a cloth mask is completely okay to treat patients. And that is this is just simply wrong. And I have to say, somehow I get angry when I listen to this. So we need to work on this and see how we can help people and help organizations, help our government to make things easier and better.
Well, I think that's a good message for the evening. And Jürgen, I hope that you are taking your vitamins. You are having vitamin C every day, vitamin D every day. You're taking some zinc, drinking lots of water, not just coffee, but lots of water, and wear your mask. So good night and stay healthy.
Thank you. And please stay tuned for additional information and some of the information we touched already here with this conversation between Peter and myself. Good night, Peter.
Good night.
I hope you enjoyed our brief visit to Pakistan. We're back in Hawaii now, and we're continuing the story about wearing masks in these difficult times during Corona. One of our co-workers here at Itobu News today went to get a medical procedure in one of our medical facilities and was asked actually to take her KN95 mask off and replace it with a surgery, blue protective surgery mask. That was a surprise because KN95 is by far more secure and safe. So we talked to the safety officer in charge of that company and also to the media representative, and we'll share some more information about, I would say, misinformation and what it could do to raise confusion in these difficult times.
Hi, this is Jürgen.
Hi, my name is Chris from Diagnostic Lab.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Isn't this, I think, what happened today when one of our employees went to get some unrelated procedure done? And actually, we gave everyone in our company KN95 masks. So we wanted to make sure, you know, our staff was protected. And specifically in the case of this one employer, she has, she's diabetic. She's not very healthy. She can hardly walk. So for her, and she's 63 years old, so she comes into the age where, you know, she could be considered high risk. So it's very important that people like that are even more protected. And when she walked into your diagnostic place at Ala Moana, she was apparently pushed out of the room and said, "You cannot wear this mask," and was given, as far as I know, a surgery, like one of the surgery masks, because they're less protective. And she was told the KN95 she has gets unfiltered air out and endangers other patients. What is completely lunatic, because when you look at the KN95 mask, and I, after this, talked to a source and a gentleman we had on our show and who I personally know since eighth grade, we're good friends, and he has been working with masks way before Corona in Germany, and so he knows everything about masks. But the easiest thing is if you put like a toothpick in there or a pen, you will see that these little holes, that even though they appear optically like they're open, they're not open at all. There are three layers, or sometimes five layers, of very fine fiber covering them up. So they are way more protective than any mask. So actually today, there are new statistics came out that the F95 in Germany, F2 in Germany, is 93% or 92% effective, while the KN95 and N95 are in the 94, 95, or even 97 range protective. And the surgery masks protect others to, I believe, 72%, and the cloth masks are way under 40%. So to ask a patient to take off a mask that would protect her in exchange of a mask what clearly would not protect her, I think it's quite amazing. And if this happens, of course, in a department store, you know, people are not expected to know this. But when this happens at a health facilities, it could boomerang quite a bit, because now Linda, that's her name, if she would have just taken that for clear information. She probably would have told all her neighbors and everyone else, oh, don't trust these KN95 masks. They're dangerous. So, and that is really my concern, is the training and specifically guidelines also from our health department should be clearly stating what the truth is here. Don't you agree?
Definitely. I agree that we definitely got to be providing the right information. Yes, definitely, I agree. So as far as the KN95, though, I think the confusion might have been that there was a, according to what Joyce then told me, the person you were talking to earlier, she said that there was no surge exhalation valve on the KN95. Is that correct?
No. Okay. No. I know the KN95 and the these valves, as far from what I understand, I'm not a professional, are used in hospital settings where people are really under, isolated. So you can hardly even buy them. No, this was a regular one, the one you can purchase at Amazon and everywhere else. And I have pictures of it. I can show you. And also, my friend in Germany asked me just to cut it, so you can actually see the layers, and it's easy. So I took one. I have a lot of them here. So I took one of them and I cut it. And you can see this little very fine fiber layer over these holes. So when you look at it, yes, it appears like, they're holes and they're not protected. But it just makes breathing easier. There are other, according to my friend also, there are other masks out there. They don't have these holes, but they stick on your face, and they're by far, especially for elderly people, very difficult to use.
So we're still trying to investigate what happened. I think the staff that worked with your coworker is no longer at work, so we weren't able to find out any more information. Mm-hmm. We are definitely looking into it. I think the confusion is that they might have thought that the mask had an N9 exhalation valve on it, which it didn't. So, that would be definitely our issue to deal with. And we definitely are looking into kind of how the communication is to our staff, how we're communicating to the people, to the patients and whatnot, and how we're going to kind of do this process. So we definitely are looking into kind of what happened here and how we can improve it.
Yeah, and then that would be great, because I mean, we're all going through this together, and I really have high respect for healthcare workers in this environment. So I'm not trying to, to be complicated, but it may make things worse. So people just need to be trained, there needs to be knowledge about it. And not only there, if you look at the CDC guidelines, they're completely lunatic when it comes to these masks. Still today, I checked it again. It says that the cloth masks are completely acceptable. And it's just a blank lie. I mean, the reason this was put in place in the beginning, and we have someone on saying this actually in publicly, was because there weren't enough masks out there. And obviously, you don't want everyone to go after KN95 when there's only a limited supply, and then healthcare workers, like people who work for you and doctors, cannot get them. That would make it even worse. So I understand that. But
right.
There should
Early
be a truth. There should be a truth in statement. Then it should be said, look, we know that these masks might be effective, but we cannot recommend it yet because we need to make sure there's a supply. Then you have the truth. Under the Trump administration, apparently this was completely misleading on the CDC side, and I'm very surprised that even now, where there's plenty of supply for KN95, that this is not corrected. And you can see in Europe, I know a handful of European countries make the surgical mask and specifically the cloth mask illegal to wear. You cannot wear them anymore, and unless in your own apartment. So why are we so far behind? Our numbers in the U.S. are by far higher. I mean, we're in greater danger, and it is just mind-boggling. So I also reached out to the CDC, and I'm hoping they get back to me. They always get back to me, because I really think this thing needs to be changed.
Okay. Well, Jürgen, I appreciate you, you know, making sure that we are trying to, you know, take care of our folks also. We're trying to take care of our employees as well as all the patients. Appreciate you bringing that up and that we can look further into this.
When you're talking about protecting your own employers, what type of mask are your own employers required to wear for their own protection?
Yeah, so right now we're just following the CDC guidelines. So we have them wearing in these environments where there's minimal likelihood of somebody coming in. Like, definitely we know they're, you know, not definitely, but there's less chance of them coming in with COVID or being totally sick. We still have them use surgical masks. And then if they are wearing, you know, or are working directly with COVID patients or even under investigation patients, then we have them wearing N95 and or similar.
And honestly, that is something I find absolutely appalling. This is my personal opinion as a citizen, not as a journalist. But I think you guys should not get a license and not put your staff in harm's way if this is your policy. What does it take for you guys at least to come up with a Chinese-made KN95? They sell, I bought a pack here for, and they're not cheap. So a good one cost about $659 for a pack of 40, I believe. So it's $1.50. It's a cup of coffee a day to protect your people. Why would you give them surgical masks? For what reasons? There's no lack of, there's enough out there. Can we put in a call for donation for you guys? Maybe do a funding page so you can buy these masks and protect your employees. I'm really appalled. I mean, why would you do this to your own staff?
Well, we're basing all of our information and trying to take as much direction as we can from wherever we can get it. And right now, the only thing we can go by is the CDC recommendations. That's all we have.
But the CDC is also recommending for medical staff KN95 and N95. And surgical masks are not protecting your staff. They're protecting your patients. What is glad. Good that you do that. But what about your staff? Aren't you concerned about your own staff?
So the idea then is that if everybody's wearing it, then we're trying to protect each other, right? And that's kind of where we're
exactly
at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is so simple. I mean, we're always trying to be ahead of things here in Hawaii, and we are, I think, in a lot of ways. But I find that there are only two major laboratories besides you. There's only one other major company, from what I understand. So why would you not go this extra step? I know the cost for the surgical mask is about 10 cents or something, or 20 cents, or they're very cheap, right? And the other ones are a dollar. But he said you can leave them dry for 1 week, and you can wear them again. You can do this like two or three times. So one mask for $1.20 actually can protect you for 4 days altogether. So $1.20 a day, wouldn't that be worth to save your staff's health? Actually, it's 30 cents a day if you reuse them. If you don't reuse them, it's $1.20. And I'm sure you get them cheaper if you buy them in mass.
Yes, we have a board.
Okay, so would this be possible to send to the board and have them make a recommendation or a policy?
Sure, I can definitely bring it up.
Yeah, so if you could do that and maybe let us know when this is done. We're going to go with the story as it is right now. But we would love to let people know, you know, this is now changed and this is safe, and that, you know, I think it would really help everyone.
I'll probably have to get approval to get back to you on it also. I'm not sure. That's not my call.
No, I understand this. And it's, I mean, with approval or without approval, we're definitely going to let the public know about this. Because
okay.
This is, in my opinion, is a big breach of trust and security and safety. And a healthcare company like yours, who is very well respected, I think you can do better.
So this is kind of going into kind of out of my realm. I'm the safety guy here. So could I have you talk to our guy who does work with media?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was you, actually, so I didn't know that.
I'm the safety guy. I do safety and risk for the company. Let me.
Yeah, so that's definitely a risk for the company, I would say. Because if you guys, let's assume someone gets this virus, and they bring it back because of the mask, you guys are going to get sued, and then it becomes a risk, and it becomes a liability. Besides, you know, putting someone's life in danger on top of it.
Yeah, hold on. Let me call the guy to talk to you. Hold on, please.
Okay. Okay.
Hello, this is Ken Lincoln with Diagnostic Laboratory Services.
Oh, yeah, hi, Ken. My name is Jürgen Steinmetz, and I'm with Etobo News, and we also publish Hawaii News. So from what I understand, cloth masks protect at all in a 40% range are not really effective. There was something just they needed to put in place. There weren't enough KN95s around or surgical masks around. Healthcare professionals needed to get them first, what I fully support. And the CDC came out with guidelines. They probably know they were lying. And this was under the Trump administration. Ironically, the same guidelines are still on their CDC website. So I'm really puzzled. The surgical masks, when you look at this, they protect others. They don't really, according to what I understand now, they protect others. They really have very little protection for yourself. And the KN95 protects you and protects others because you have, I think, the 3 and 5 layer of cloth. It's by far more effective. And I have some technical data. I just don't have it in front of me. I'd be happy to share. And it's widely available also, this type of information. I'm sure you guys know that. And so here, what we did after the story, because it was such an emotional story, there's so much involved in it, we went ahead and we bought all our employers here in Hawaii the KN95 mask. And said, okay, we did this as a company to protect everyone. Most people
work
from
home. How many?
And we gave everyone this mask. Among them was one of our employees who is our assignment editor, and she works like everyone from home. But she also has some serious medical conditions, she is over 60 years old. So she's in one of the what we probably call a high risk area. So today she went to get she doesn't have corona, some unrelated work done at your facility at Ala Moana. I think it's where the Bank of Hawaii building is. And she was immediately, when she entered your office, your company's office, she was asked to take her mask off and put another surgical mask on, what we knew wasn't really safe. And so she hesitated to do this first and ask why this is, and they told her that this mask has little holes in it and that puts other people in danger. So that sounded logical, especially if you look at the mask at a KN95, you see these holes there in different parts of the mask. So it sounded really logical. So she came back, she called me about it, and I took a look at the mask. I have them here, and I said, she's right, you know, this is really strange. So I called my friend in Germany and I said, no, these are not holes. Try to cut them in pieces, and you will see there are several layers of protected, very fine fiber protected shields over this, and that fully protects for the virus. They're just so people can breathe easier. There are also masks out there that don't have the hole, but especially for elderly people and for kids, they're not advisable to wear. You know, sometimes in hospitals you wear them for a few hours, but not for a longer time, but these are the right masks to wear and they're fully protected. So I looked at this and it's true. And he said, try to put his pen in between or a toothpick, you would know doesn't go through. So they're fully sealed. And that's true, that's what it is. So she was now forced, because of a nurse telling her to take this mask off, that they're not protected, and put one of the surgical masks she was handed on what wouldn't protect her at all. So she was really put at harm's way today at your facility.
There is some protection from the surgical mask, right? I admit it's not ideal, but it's better than nothing. Correct.
I suppose, but it's not. Yeah, I understand it. It's better than nothing. I understand it's 70%, 68% from what I understand. Okay, while compared to 94-95% on the mask she was wearing, so it's by far less.
Yeah, but, and I did get forwarded an email, and I scanned it real quick, and I think you know the biggest. I mean, I think you can understand we're trying to be cognizant of everyone's safety. You know, your fellow employer or employees' safety, our staff's safety. I think with us, there is a definite gap in our staff recognizing that mask was safe. I think we have to do a better job educating our staff. But in addition, rather than replacing, I think we can both agree if we had asked your coworker to put on the mask on top of her mask, that may have alleviated this concern.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. But, and of course, see, if she wasn't our employer, we wouldn't know so much about masks now because we reported about it, and she was our assignment editor, eventually put the stories in, you know, that's why it went a little bit further. But if there was a regular patient who would have come to your office, they would probably go and tell their neighbors, don't buy these KN95. They're no good. You know, I just came back from there and they told me, no, don't wear them. And that puts
right.
everyone.
I mean, and yeah, we have to do, I mean, we pride ourselves on trying to keep up to date on whatever information is available to us and what's safe for the community and what's safe for our employees. We have over 700 employees that we have to take care of and we're doing our best to keep everybody safe, and it's our mission to keep them safe and keep our patients safe. So I think the guidance was to replace, but I think what I've seen is the addition of an extra layer doesn't hurt. So, you know, I think we're going to work with our satellite teams that run those divisions and try to tell them, well, work with them to tell them not to get rid of the existing mask that anyone's wearing and just have them put on an additional layered mask so that they feel safe and we feel safe.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, when I talked to your colleague, another thing came up, and I haven't talked to my coworker here yet on this, but apparently I understand that your own staff is wearing the surgical mask, which of course protects your patients, so that's great. But it doesn't really protect them fully. And I'm just wondering, and I'm almost getting angry when I think about it, because
we asked everyone to wear the appropriate mask when they're entered. And, you know, the information that we have, if they're masked up, we're masked up, we're protecting each other in that scenario. And that's why we provide surgical masks to people that come in with a T-shirt or what they call a gaiter, and things that we recognize as not being particularly effective, bandanas and things like that. So that's why we provide these surgical masks at no cost to the patient to ensure that they're protecting themselves and we're protecting ourselves, and therefore we should have a mutual protection.
Yeah, and of course there's always a period you have to hand the mask, you have people already in there, they may have sneezed, but I'm wondering what is the reasoning for your company not to provide to your employers KN95 masks? They're now widely available. There's no shortage.
I'm not positive on the availability of that. I would have to do some research on that. I mean, we have, you know, 700 to 800 employees that we provide these surgical masks to be, you know, worn once or twice a day if they wear them out. There's several factors involved when you multiply the number of employees that we have for the services that we require to do. We have employees that draw blood in the hospital use. They're wearing N95 masks as they're in those types of environments. We have additional signage on our patient service centers. So if you have a fever, we screen for fever. If you have symptoms, we ask you not to come in. We try to make it the safest possible environment, and in addition to having the appropriate mask. that we can have readily available. I'm not aware of the availability of N95 and KN95 masks as of 2021. I'll definitely look into it. The safety of our staff is of utmost concern to us.
Yeah, the availability, from what I understand, is widely there now for KN95. And for N95, it's a little bit more of a shortage, I guess, because they're U.S.-made, but the Chinese-made, there are millions of them. They're in warehouses in California. They're everywhere, and there doesn't seem to be a shortage because they're advertised all over the place.
I believe you, but I would have to validate that for myself. And
I understand.
But I could definitely do that.
Yeah, no, and I understand. But you would probably agree with me. If this was available, there should be no reason why you wouldn't want to protect your own staff, right? I mean, it doesn't make any difference. The KN95 are very comfortable. I'm wearing them now for the last few weeks. They're more comfortable.
You know, I actually bought a big package of KN95 masks, and, you know, maybe I have an abnormally large head, but it was not comfortable for me. I had to modify the mask for myself. But I understand. I mean, we are definitely, we're in the healthcare business, and we take the health and safety of our patients and our employees very seriously. So, I will definitely look into this, and it's a little bit bigger than me because we represent several hundred people, but, you know, we can see where we can source these things, and we take direction from, you know, we're an affiliate of the Queens Medical Center, we're tied into their direction as well, and we, you know, we're supporting other hospitals. Like, we're very tuned into the safety and the regulations of healthcare across the board, and we're very cognizant of safety of patients.
No, I know this because there's only two, I think, major companies what you're doing here, so you should be on the front line, so people trust you also. With this, and I'm just, you know, without knowing maybe all the ins and outs, I was just very surprised that your own staff would not, you know, wear these KN95. They are now in Germany mandatory to anyone, not only to healthcare workers, when they go to a store, when they go to any facility.
I have a hard enough time keeping up with what's going on in the mainland, so. Looking at foreign countries, like I appreciate. I hope it works well for Germany, and I hope that it trickles down to us and all these best practices. Works its way out worldwide, so that we're all as safe as we can be. I mean, we're all in this together, and we're trying our best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And just one on the personal note. I also bought the first KN95 I bought at Amazon. They were so small, they hurt my ear.
Exactly, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, but you know, they have three sizes. You probably had the same. I had the small ones first. They call it small, medium. Buy the large. Just make sure you get the large. They're very comfortable. And I'm 6'2", I'm 287 pounds, so I'm not a small guy. And
yeah, well, you and me are about the same size.
Yes. So the these ones, the KN I have now, they're very comfortable. They're more comfortable. The one, the surgical mask, they're always broke because they're not really stable. This one, you can, you know, they seem to be a lot more solid, and they're not hurting. So but you have to make sure you buy the large ones. Most of the ones you can get here in Hawaii, they're the small ones because most people are not as big as you and I, maybe. You can order them. They're easily available. Yeah.
So that's good to know. I'll look into it, and I'll talk to – we have a supplies department that, you know, gets all our supplies to all our locations. But, you know, again, we have neighbor island locations. We also service Guam. I mean, we have a lot of moving parts, and we can't just provide a little bit to one. We have to be able to provide everything to everyone.
But I appreciate the information, and hopefully maybe once you guys change the KN95 to that all your staff has to wear it, let me know. We'd be happy to use it for another story.
Jorgen, I appreciate the input, and I will definitely follow up with you on any kind of development.
Okay, thank you so much, and stay safe.
You too. Take care.
Thank you. Aloha. Bye-bye.